Greetings. Today is Sunday, the 26th of April, and I'm reading the translation of Pascal Girard's message, which is entitled, Love One Another. When I brought up the theme of love for our enemies last week, you may have said to yourself, but I don't think I have an enemy. If we are to love our enemies, how much more must we love our brothers and sisters in faith, and according to the command, our neighbour as ourselves? I'm going to read today an extract from the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 31 and 32, and chapter 5, verses 1 to 2. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. I'm not going to exhaust the subject or subjects developed in this text today, but I would like to gather my thoughts around the simple command which appears in verse 32. Be kind to one another. May the Lord enlighten us. Kindness is so vast that it replaces, we are told, all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with any wrongdoing. But while listening to this list, we can also remember these passages which say, in your anger do not sin, a few verses before those I have read, and the Apostle James saying, be slow to anger, in chapter 1, verse 19, and the Evangelist Mark saying that Jesus looked around at the Pharisees in anger, chapter 3, verse 5. Was it also out of kindness that Jesus drove the merchants from the temple with a whip and overturned their tables? John chapter 2 verse 15 and in Matthew chapter 21 verse 12. What would Jesus have said if he had been told that he had to eliminate all anger from his behaviour? Perhaps he would have said, sometimes a heart full of love and a passion for the truth is not expressed kindly. Or he would have said, there is a kindness that can be as hard as iron. So when Paul says in the Epistle to the Ephesians that we may be angry, but that we must not sin, and that he adds a little further on that you have to get rid of the anger and be kind, what he means, I think, is that all internal bitterness and malice must be prohibited. No slander, no fighting spirit. But when you realise that God is offended or that the fellowship is being flouted, then with the help of the Holy Spirit and by examining your own behaviour and feelings, you have to choose between giving vent to your anger and changing your anger to kindness. Both are possible, in all fairness. Too often, kindness has been taken to mean being nice to everyone and not telling the truth to someone's face, so as not to risk being hurt or hurting someone else. In this way, we have allowed situations to get bogged down to the detriment of all and for the unhappiness of the one who we thought was being protected by a supposedly benevolent attitude. I do not suggest that one should speak the truth with brutality, but to speak the truth all the same with the discernment, grace, and accompanied by words imbued with kindness, not to destroy, but to rebuild a beautiful work. Kindness is therefore an apparent change in behaviour, but also a change in the heart. Be kind to one another, said Paul, full of tender compassion. If the manners are gentle, polite and helpful on the outside, and the heart is hard on the inside, one can hardly speak of kindness yet. So how do you understand kindness? Two models are given for us in the text. The first is God's forgiveness. The other is the love of Christ. The first we find in verse 32, which begins thus, "Be kind to one another, full of tender compassion," and continues in this way, "Forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." The first model of kindness is therefore the forgiveness of God in Christ, the God who gives grace. The second model is considered in verse 2. "Live in love, just as Christ also loved us and gave himself up to God as an offering and a sacrifice." Therefore, the model of kindness is the love of Christ giving himself for us. So what can we learn from it? First, what does the model of God's forgiveness teach us about our own forgiveness? Several things can come to mind. First, God's forgiveness takes sin seriously, and we should learn from it. Forgiveness is not flippant towards sin. He sees the sin, names it, and then covers it up. God forgives what he hates. Then God's forgiveness believes that all accounts are settled, and it should be the same for us. When kindness calls us to forgive a wrong committed against us, we are supported by God. The evil that has been done is punished with the anger that was poured out on Christ when the Lord laid the blame on himself for the sins of us all. Who are we to refuse forgiveness to someone when the Lord himself has offered forgiveness? Finally, if the forgiveness of God had a cost, our forgiveness will cost us too. To God, it cost him his Son. But for us, it will cost us the taste of revenge and the pleasure of resentment. The second model of our kindness is therefore the love of Christ, as we see in chapter 5, verse 2. "Live in love, just as Christ also loved us and gave himself to God as an offering and a sacrifice." And here we could mention three things that are beneficial to us. First, the love of Christ for us is undeserved, and we should not think that people should earn our love and receive our kindness. None of us has ever deserved to be loved by Jesus Christ. Freely we received, freely we should give. Then the love of Christ for us is holy. The goal of the love of Christ is the holiness of those who belong to him. He wanted the church to be holy and without reproach. We learn about this in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 to 27. Love aims at the holiness of a man and a woman, not at their earthly happiness. Kindness is not a strategy for avoiding conflict. It is modelled on the love of Christ and aims to promote holiness. Finally, Christ's love for us was sacrificial, and so must ours be too. We have already said the love of God came at a cost. But it is worth repeating, because each of us knows that the most difficult thing when we talk about kindness is to show it when we are in pain. A miracle of grace. Besides, when Paul says, "Let all bitterness, animosity, anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice, be removed from among you," you heard it. The verb is in the passive. Let everything be removed. If we were left with the decision to be kind, we would simply be unable to take bitterness and wickedness out of our hearts. We have to understand that someone other than us is at work here. This is what we can read elsewhere. "Be made new in the attitude of your minds." Another passive verb. There must be a power or a person who renews. And we know what that power is, or who that person is. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 says it very clearly. "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, etc." If the Spirit of God does not come into our life to do a supernatural work, we may be unable to embellish the appearance of our kindness, but the substance will not be changed. Paul says, let all bitterness be removed. This is a call to action of the Spirit in us by faith. Is it by virtue of the works of the law that you receive the Spirit, asked the Apostle Paul, or because you heard the message of the faith? By faith I accept that Christ delivered himself to God for us as an offering and a sacrifice, like a fragrant offering. I don't know how you feel about these words, but it's not an insignificant thing to hear or read that the sacrifice of the Son was a fragrant offering for God. In this sentence, there are realities so great and so terrible, so wonderful and so devastating. They are the power of God for our sanctification and the uprooting of that which Paul calls us to reject, bitterness, animosity, anger, among other things. How can we not try to express kindness when we consider the immense kindness of our Lord? And it is not by the power of the flesh that I will be able to overcome my bitterness, my anger, or anything else on this list. It is by seeking the Holy Spirit so that my life will bear fruit. God has forgiven all our sins. Be gracious, forgiving each other just as God has been gracious to you in Christ. Each fault we committed has been forgiven freely in Christ Jesus and must make us humble and kind. Finally, but of no less importance, Paul says in chapter 5, verse 1, follow God's example then, like beloved children. True, we are loved by God. This is already a miracle in our life. Be kind to one another, full of tender compassion. Be gracious as God has been gracious to you in Christ. In the exercise of kindness, as in many other things, it is better to be proactive and think about our relationships, our behaviours in these relationships, our motivations, as if we are establishing a dialogue within ourselves. Necessary, intimate dialogue, allowing a dialogue with the other person. This inner questioning will prove particularly useful in the dangerous passages of our life. Our kindness will be, so to speak, a backdrop in front of which we will live our relationships with others in such a way that is pleasing to God, that edify and strengthen us.